You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show is sponsored by Leonard Trial Lawyers and STG Divorce Law. Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
All right, at just about 2:11 here on WGN, it is Christmas Eve, and it looks like Easter out there. We've got the fog rolling in. Be careful while you're driving about the area. It was okay on my drive in from the western suburbs, but we have gotten texts from people in northwest Indiana, maybe the far south suburbs, that this fog is not great. So slow down. All the things. Julie, I don't think I need to remind people of this, but you know, it just helps to hear, like,
yes,
leave a little space between you and the car in front of you. All that general reminder. If it gets too bad, pull over. No sense stressing out. You can relax with us here on another hour of Let's Get Legal.
And the potholes have not all been fixed. So I passed two people on the side of coming in from the western suburbs also who had flat tires.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
that's
awful.
What it was. You know, it is interesting because you don't normally see all the potholes and stuff until January, February, March when we thawed. But the last couple of days with temperatures in the upper 40s, soon going to be in the 50s, you're right. These potholes are going to be killer here. That's not a fun way to spend your Christmas on your way to grandmother's and you go through the
sitting
pothole.
Sitting on the side of the Eisenhower.
Exactly. Right. If you see someone on 290, give them space, by the way, too, or any roadway for that matter. Yeah, no, you don't want to celebrate Christmas on the side of the Eisenhower Expressway. Julie Gumina joins us now from STG Law, stglawfirm.com. Julie, I know we heard from you a couple weeks ago. We met you in October. Let's reintroduce you to our listeners. Maybe they're new to this program or haven't heard your voice before. Who are you? What do you do?
My name's Julie Gumina. I'm a divorce attorney and owner with my husband, Rayford Palmer, of STG Divorce Law Firm. We do only family law and divorce primarily. And I had so much fun the first time. I'm honored to say that it got replayed, and I'm very excited for that. So I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me back.
For sure. And but you've been in, even though the firm is fairly new, right? The last couple of years?
No, I joined the firm in 1998.
Okay.
And the firm has changed from the founder's name,
yes,
my name, Mr. Palmer's name, my husband's name, Rafe. And then it changed, and then this is the final or the most recent iteration in the name,
but the experience is
the
there.
The experience is the same because there's a predominant, you know, paralegals and some of the lawyers who've been with us for years and decades. So
you have told me I can mention this on air, and we did it last time too. I always think it is a nice detail to have is that you yourself, and this isn't nice particularly, but it's ended up fine. You've been through a divorce yourself.
I have.
And I think that matters. I am not in need of a divorce lawyer right now. If I ever was, which I won't be if they're listening, is the idea that there is some comfort knowing that, hey, I've been through this lawyer that you're going to choose. I can get you to the other side. And that you know what the emotional battle's right, Julie?
Right. And it's, you know, I was doing divorce for a very long time until I personally experienced it, and it gives you another perspective, and that vulnerability, even when you could be the smartest person in the room and know exactly what the law says, you still have that vulnerability of, I've never been through this, and I'm not happy that I'm going through it, and good thing, ultimately.
Right.
I have two great kids. My ex-husband and I get along fabulous, and we did exactly what was best for our kids. So.
Right. Well, that's good. I'm glad it's worked out. This holiday time of year can be difficult for people that are even considering it or have that little thought bubble in their head about a divorce. But it's also a very difficult time for many families who've already been through this, isn't it?
Yes.
What is that post-divorce world like with kids, whether it's where are we going on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, whatever the holiday is? You brought up to me Christmas card. I mean, all sorts of things. There's a lot of angles here that people need to think about around this time of year, isn't there?
I think you have to take the cues from the children and let them lead you through some of the traditions of the holidays. So if it's always been a holiday tradition to spend Christmas Eve with dad's family, then keep it that way.
Honor that.
And then if it's always been this way for mom's family, try to honor that. Now, new traditions are made and new families, relationships are made. So over time, it's always going to change anyway, whether you had stayed married or not. As we grow, and I'm realizing it, as everyone gets more involved in their own family, that becomes everyone's focus, less friends or work
associates
right. and the like. So it's really focusing on the kids and making sure that they don't feel, one, that they have to choose,
mm-hmm.
two, that they have mutual support behind their parents and what they're doing for the holidays, and parents have to be on their best behavior. They have to be kind to each other. They need to not pick a fight at this point. You call a truce. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. People are traveling. You know, try to
be nice.
Be nice.
At
exactly.
the end of the day.
Just, exactly.
Just, or find, or be silent.
If you've got nothing nice to say, say nothing.
I've always wondered when divorce proceedings are going through, do the holidays come up as like a thing that we're going to agree beforehand, or usually is it just left to the next holiday when it comes up, it's a post-discussion?
No, no. There's, when people get divorced, there's a parenting judgment that gets entered, and they detail out some people to the minute of their holiday schedule.
Oh, that's part of the divorce proceedings.
When transitions will happen between the parents, and the trend, at least what I'm seeing now, is people want to have less transitions and more time that you can, and it makes sense because the children can go and spend time with one family and kind of get adjusted into mom or dad's home and enjoy that time off. And then one transition to the other house and kind of have enough time to blend and enjoy the experience of that family. So I see the trend being longer times, less transition between divorced spouses.
But that's decided during these proceedings.
Yes, it is.
Now, that can get, is it squirrely then when parents around, let's say a couple years after a divorce, want to change things up a little bit? Is
yes.
that able to be changed up on the fly, or do you have to stick with the letter of what was written down the first time?
Your original agreement is your default position. So if you guys agree to do something else, do it.
Okay.
Do it again. Make it child-centered, child-led, so that they feel they're loved by both families. Christmas is tough, and the first holidays after divorce are very hard. Like when they leave.
Yeah, all bets are off
right.
in terms of your feelings, your emotions.
Yes.
It is, yeah, I can't imagine.
And you have to
that.
Put on your game face, parents, and try not to weep as they're walking out the door to go to your ex-husband's house. You just have to suck it up.
Right.
And say, have fun. Yay. You get double presents.
That's true. It's tough for the kids, though, too, right?
Yeah,
especially those
is.
First couple, I imagine, because it's strange. And then, obviously, you remarried, and that can be an adjustment for kids as well. And
yes,
it's got to be a lot of counseling, talking, and probably most importantly, listening.
A lot of listening, because kids usually tell you what they're thinking most of the time if they're talking.
If they're talking, yeah.
If they're talking, that's just it. So, like, for example, this year was the first year I got to do a joint Christmas card. And
you mean like with your
with
kids
my
from your
kids,
previous marriage?
Yes, with my husband and his kids from his first marriage. So we have the first combined Christmas card, and I think we're almost married 6 years at this point. So it's okay. It was just last year, a lot of my relatives thought maybe I got divorced again or something. Like, what happened to Julie's husband? Isn't he around? But my kids, it just, you listen to your kids.
Right.
And if that's not what their comfort level is, you make accommodations for that.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I'm hoping that's my last Christmas card almost.
Your last Christmas card ever? Or?
Well, maybe just the I don't know. Every other year. Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Sounds like it was
a
little bit of a battle. All right. We got plenty more with Julie Gumina. SCGlawfirm.com, your number to reach you and the whole team over there. 312-248-6680, right?
Correct.
312-248-6680, SDGlawfirm.com. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. John Hansen here with you till 3 o'clock. And with me the whole way, Julie Gumina from SDG Law.
Hello.
And hello, hello. And we've got some questions coming in. 847 wants to know, is it true that you're seeing millennials? So that's roughly people in their, boy, their early 40s. Everyone always rags on millennials. I'm a geriatric millennial, they say. But remember, millennials are old now. Not old, but we're older. We're late, early 40s through probably late 20s or early 30s. Are you seeing an increase in people those ages getting divorced right now in the past 6 months?
I think, I mean, I see more increase in the Gen Xers, the young Gen Xers, anywhere between 48 to 52.
That's your range?
That's the range, I think, where mm-hmm. I'm seeing the most people who are like, I'm putting it in, I'm trying to make the marriage work, my two kids are in college, now I have one left, and they're just like, and what should happen is, as the kids grow, the marriage comes back together mm-hmm. so that they can be friends and then, you know, help each other out in their old age.
Right. But you're not seeing that.
There's, you know, it's not unusual because that's a natural change and you're evaluating your life because mm-hmm. your children are now leaving the nest. So the empty nesters, mm-hmm. I guess, is kind of where I see the most. The
now that you have to spend time with your spouse exclusively,
I know, exactly.
A lot of them are going, maybe not so much with this
maybe
person.
Maybe not so much. We don't even like the same things anymore.
Well, you know, and that is something. I think there has been, and it's definitely eased, obviously considerably from 100 years ago, but the stigma of divorce is still that there was some sort of failure. When the reality is, sometimes people just change.
Right.
You're not the same person. They're not the same person. And I think it probably takes a long time. And maybe having kids and getting kids through high school kind of masks a little bit of that. And you're right. When they leave the nest, you kind of take an introspective look. And it still might take a while, but you just go, what are we doing here?
Right.
You see that with a lot of couples?
Yeah. And I want, like, in those situations, I want them to think, is divorce... Divorce is never should be the first option. Mm-hmm. It should be the last option after you've, like, considered, you know, counseling and figuring out what needs aren't being met by the other person, for yourself, for them. And, you know, a good marriage is better than a good divorce. And that's really...
Yeah, I do find it interesting, and to your credit, because you could easily come on here and be like, everyone get divorced, call me, that's what we're going to do. But no, I think that's to your credit, the idea being that not only is divorce expensive, and it can be financially an upheaval for people in one way or the other. But you still would advocate people get some good counseling, talk through some things.
Oh, definitely.
Because people do make it through that. I think sometimes we think that if you end up in a counseling room talking to someone else about your marriage and you guys couldn't figure this out, this thing is doomed. Whereas the reality is, I'm sure a lot of people go through counseling and it ends up fine.
Right. And when you can see that in people who are... They didn't, like, someone draws the line and says, we're not going to counseling. And then in the process, then they start seeing it's the tone, it's the perception, it's the words that have been said so long over time that they don't give the other person a chance to grow beyond it. And they, you know, everyone's holding on to their grievances in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I think if you can start working with a counselor and working together to try to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Why not? You can always get divorced.
Right.
I mean, one person, it only takes one person to get divorced.
Right.
It doesn't, one person can be dragged kicking and screaming to get divorced at this point.
Right. Now, I know that for a long time there was the trend that half of all divorces ended marriage. I know the numbers went down for a while there. Where are we at right now?
I
don't mind asking for a specific number.
I think divorces are probably down, but then there's the counter argument, are people not getting married?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you have real estate with someone or kids with someone, get married. It's
right.
The best rules to apply when you have to break up. Or when you break up. Not when you have to break up, but
right.
when you break
up.
If you break up, excuse me. But that, you know, because marriage puts in place the laws to protect the children, to protect each spouse mm-hmm. gets protection. If you're not married and you live in a house that someone else owns and you have their children or you share children, whoever is, if there's no court proceeding, what you have to do, a parentage, you have to do a separation of the real estate. There's so many complexities that you've just created, and I'm not sure why you can protect yourself with a prenup. So anyone who says, well, I don't want to worry about losing my stuff in a divorce.
Prenup. There's ways around that.
Exactly.
The 630 says, hey, John, I think you got your words a little mixed up. It's half of all marriages end in divorce, not half of all divorces end in marriage. Did I say that? It has been a long 3 months. I'm sorry. It's been a particularly long week. Yes, half of all marriages at one point ended in divorce, or at least that was the common stat. We're going to take a break for the news here in a moment, but I do want to remind people, 312-248-6680, sdglawfirm.com. You mentioned counseling and all those other things. When do you want people to make the call? Is it to you? Is it before they've told their spouse their final indications? Is it while they're still considering?
Oh, long before that.
Okay.
Long before that. You have to, when the signs of trouble have started, that's when you have to go back. Don't start talking to your friend at work. Don't start talking to, you know, your
neighbor
hair
Joe.
Salon
yeah.
or
yeah.
neighbor Joe. Exactly. Because then all of a sudden you're looking outside the marriage to other people to solve the problem that's going on in the marriage.
So call a lawyer soon.
Call a counselor.
Call a counselor. Let's say you've done counseling.
Okay.
That's when they call you. Well,
yeah.
Tell you what. Let's dive into this timing thing a little bit more. But
okay.
Let's do it after the news. 236 on WGN. John Hanson here. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. In our first hour, we did a trial of the Grinch. And it was a lot of fun. I had no idea how it was going to turn out, but I think it was pretty well received. If you missed it, or if you heard it, want to listen to it again or share it with your friends, we'd love for you to do that. WGNradio.com. It's under the Let's Get Legal tab right now. Hopefully it'll move to the top of the homepage for your listening on the weekend. Maybe just something to do. Obviously, we've got a lot of great programming here on WGN all weekend long, but maybe something to add to your repertoire of things to do. WGNradio.com. It's up right now. STG Law Firm, Julie Gumina here right now. And Julie, before we get into more divorce things, you wanted to give a quick shout out and important message here today,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I just wanted to give a shout out to my brother, Paul Gumina, who's a Chicago firefighter, Engine 94. And he wanted me just to give a special shout out to Michonne Plummer, who is 2 year anniversary today of his passing in the fire department.
Yeah, that was a tragic accident 2 years ago. Yeah, thank you for that. And obviously, and a big thank you, obviously, zooming out. And I come from a firefighter family to all the firefighters, police officers, everyone who's working, because they are going to be working while we are all celebrating and enjoying. And they'll never complain about it. That is their job. But I know that it's not fun to drive in to work, even if it's a job you love, when everyone else is gathering around the tree, giving out presents, whatever it is, it always kind of stings a little bit. So a truck driver, I'm forgetting everyone, nurses, so many other people, but thank you all for working during the holiday season so the rest of us can kick our feet up and enjoy the fire.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Happy holidays.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
So now back to divorce. So here's just one thing I want to make sure.
Yeah.
So we're divorce attorneys who believe in marriage.
Right.
And so counseling and then the process. If counseling doesn't work and you agree that this, the two of you as a couple agree that you're not going to make the marriage work, then the process that you select is key to how the whole divorce will play out.
What do you mean by the process we select?
So
what are the options?
There's an option. The worst case is litigation, where you're going through financial disclosures, years of bank statements, and you're spending tons and tons of money on attorney's fees.
That's the only one I can think of.
Well, the two other best processes are having lawyer-assisted mediation or having the collaborative approach. And you can do mediation, which is where the two people come together, sit with a neutral third party, and work together to solve the problem. The only concern is both sides have to have full knowledge of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When that's not the case, you bring the lawyers in to serve as their advisor during the mediation. So they're working, and the goal being they're going to figure out how to resolve the divorce and divide their assets and parent their children going forward, not the courts.
So mediation, you are required to still have a lawyer, or only if you don't understand something?
It's better if you have a lawyer because you don't know what you don't know.
But it's still not as expensive as litigation.
So
it could be a lawyer for less hours.
Correct. Exactly.
And you guys do that too?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So mediation, litigation. What was the third one?
Collaborative.
And what's that?
So collaborative law is a unique, not all divorce attorneys are trained in collaborative law. That is where the parties each hire an attorney who's trained in the process. You sign a contract. You say you're not going to litigate. You're not going to go to court until the agreement is complete. You don't file a case. You start by having an initial meeting where you talk and say, okay, what are your concerns? What are your goals? What are your fears? That's a lot for people who are just on the verge of starting the divorce process. But it also resolves a lot of fears that everyone in their head thinks they know what's going on or what the other lawyer's thinking or whatever the other spouse is thinking. In collaborative, you're on Zoom or you're in person, and the four people who are involved in the process are right there at the start talking to each other.
It sounds a lot like mediation. What are the differences between mediation and collaboration?
In collaboration, well, they're very similar.
Okay.
Very similar. And sometimes you may bring in a mediator to the process. In collaborative, you're going to bring in, if you need a financial neutral, you're going to bring them in together. So you're sharing the cost because all the costs for a divorce come from one pot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can make that process more streamlined, it's a better approach.
Does all three of these things, whether it's litigation, mediator, collaborator, have to end up before a judge at some point?
Yes.
And a judge ultimately bangs that gavel and says, this is what's happened.
Correct.
It's about the lead up to it that is different.
Correct. It's the devil in the detail. You know, you have to, the big picture is sometimes easy for people to think about. Like, okay, I know this person wants to keep the house. This is how we're going to, you know, they may have that big picture. They just don't know how to implement the plan.
Right. Or they, I would imagine, I don't want to say they're not imaginative enough because that seems diminutive. They don't know what they don't know about these hairy, sticky little things that can happen along the way, right?
Correct. Correct.
And those things are really what can slow things down.
Right. So someone will cash out their 401k before, you know, they know that the other person, before they even tell the other person they're getting divorced is what I meant to say.
You're all good.
So you're triggering penalties and taxes and you're not looking at the whole picture to decide how this is going to work. Cause it has to work for both of you.
Right.
Because especially if you have kids, if it doesn't work for someone, that's where you find people who are in litigation for years after their divorce, and they can never get past it. And no one wants that.
You mentioned that not everyone's trained in collaborative. SDG Law, I imagine, does have folks that are, right?
Yes, yes. Myself, Laura Baldwin, and Rafe Palmer, we're three collaborative-trained attorneys with our firm.
You didn't mention your husband second on that list. I appreciate that. You bumped him down to third.
You know, he only wrote a book.
Exactly.
Rafe Palmer, I just want this done. And I always screw up the last line.
Of his book?
Yes. It's how smart, successful people get divorced without losing their kids, their money, or their minds.
There you go.
Thank you.
I mean, in your defense, that is a long title.
It is.
The big point of it, though, it was reached. 243 here on WGN, 312-981-7200. I was curious, you mentioned litigation, mediation, collaboration as kind of the three, or collaborative. What is like the percentages, or roughly speaking, where people end up? Is it evenly a third, a third, a third? Or are more people in litigation than others? Like, just based on just a general feel. You don't have to give me the exact stats, but
so
vibe check.
I would say that, you know, a very small percentage of cases actually go to trial on the complete divorce. There's a lot of interim litigation where issues are being resolved, points are being scored, classifications are being made. So, for example, if someone disputes that a house is an asset of the marriage versus an asset of their own, if that gets resolved at some point during the case, then everything should fall into place then,
mm-hmm.
because you know the guidelines by which you're going to be dividing the assets. So there's a lot of interim hearings that can happen. The goal is to stay completely out of court, maintain the status quo if you're able, identify mm-hmm. the facts that you have in your situation, including what the assets are, what the debts are. I mean, there are people who literally for the first time are seeing what their financial situation is 100%. At the time of a divorce.
Right, they don't know.
And it's not just the woman and it's not just the man. It's just everyone plays a role, and it wasn't their role during the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's education that happens during the process. You have to do a parenting class if you have kids. And in both the mediation and collaborative approach, you have different experts, like a coach who comes in, if you need one, who will manage the emotions surrounding the financial decisions or the children decisions that have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So that coach's job is to get to let the lawyers do the lawyering and the coach does the coaching, mm-hmm. and getting them emotionally strong enough to manage that, to make the decisions they have to make.
Roughly speaking, do most divorces end with a mediation collaborative process, or do most end up in litigation, or is it really split?
Most cases end by agreement.
Okay.
How they get there,
different.
They just may have two lawyers who work well together. They come together and they do a series of four ways where all four of the parties are meeting. It's not technically the collaborative approach because they don't sign the contract. But that's how most cases are settled.
Sounds good. We got to take a break. STGlawfirm.com.
It's actually STG Divorce Law.
Let me cross this out on my sheet. Did you get a text from someone saying, don't say that?
No.
Did I mess it up?
No. Our law firm is STG Divorce Law. Our website is STG
Lawfirm.com. Okay.
Yes.
All right. 312-248-6680. You can always just Google it too, people. That's where it's gonna get you to the right place. Put in Julie Gumina, you're gonna find out where to go. But I want to get the phone number out one more time. 312-248-6680. More after this on WGN. On WGN, any questions you have for Julie Gumina, text them in. 312-981-7200. STG Divorce Law. STGlawfirm.com. 312-248-6680. Julie was talking through the idea of decide the process. If you're sitting there having your eggnog and you guys have decided to come to this agreement, not agreement, you decided to get a divorce,
right.
First decide the process. Are we doing this moderate with mediation, collaboration, or litigation? What's next?
And you can always avoid litigation. You can, but make sure, I have some people who actually will meet together with a lawyer so they both hear the information.
From the same lawyer.
One lawyer cannot represent both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone advertises that they do mediation, they may be willing to meet with both of you because they're the neutral person. And that's helpful because as soon as one spouse knows the other spouse has gone to an attorney, then they start using different words and everyone gets suspicious and it kind of... You start jumping to conclusions.
Okay.
And so they say the incorrect information and you get stuck in the, well, that's not what she said. Yes, it is. And, you know, it's like, it's good to have open communication. Kind of as much as it's a hard time to put the defenses down, you have to listen to the other person mm-hmm. through the process.
So what's next for people once they decide which process they're going to choose?
Well, you have to then... Depending which process you're going to do, you're going to interview attorneys, talk to people who also may know referrals, other people that they may, like groups or get whatever referral or people they rely upon.
What do you ask a potential divorce attorney as you're trying them out? What should we be asking them?
So you want to have a realistic expectation that no one you consult with is going to tell you how much your divorce is going to cost.
Okay.
Not anyone.
Is that everyone's first question?
Unless, yes. Okay. It's not really their first question, but that's a big component because people hear horror stories of like hundreds of thousands of dollars and mm-hmm. then someone down the street, you know, they're billing $999 for an entire divorce and they have a billboard that says that. So it's like, okay, either it's $1,000 or $100,000. There's a lot in between. So the lawyer's going to want to know what the situation is. When I do a consult, I really like to hear how they've gotten to where they're at now. I don't need, you know,
everything. Litany of every
yes, and especially personal.
Don't bring the journal.
Yeah, and certain personal information, not necessary to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
But you try to get a feel for what the potential client's goals are in the process, if they're the ones initiating it. Kind of determine where they are in the process because when they sometimes I meet with them and they found out that they're going to be getting divorced 24 hours before they get on the phone with me. And their spouse has known for 6 months because they've been planning it. And so they're kind of in shock. So that's where, you know, it's good to have. You know, it's not uncommon to have a family member go along to a consultation. Okay. I went with my sister. My family's out of state. I said, I'll come with you to the first appointment. Let's just, you know, so I kind of have a second pair
with.
Of ears.
Bring yes. someone with. Yes. It's kind of like going to the doctor.
Yes.
It helps to have someone else there to, wait, what did they say later on? Write down. I imagine you want people writing down, taking notes. Really
yeah.
Having
and some people come in with a bunch of information they know from the internet, and they just want their information confirmed. And that's sometimes, or they come in, you know, it's just interesting. You have to be able to communicate with the person. And some people have, they know what their goals are and they're looking for a certain type of attorney to achieve them.
We got a text from someone, the 815. Don't know if you can answer this, Julie. If my ex-husband stopped paying for a couple years on child support due to job loss and change and then refusing to contribute to college, the kids now are 20 and 24. Does it do me any good to take him back to court for past owed child support? I know you can't answer that question specifically without more detail. So just generally speaking,
is that
a tough process to go through?
So generally speaking, if you have a judgment, a court order that says, here's the amount of money this person's supposed to pay each month. And then let's say they don't pay it for 3 years. It's accruing 9% interest on every payment that comes due. So the interest on these child support awards are significant. So someone who owes child support can't just, hey, I can't pay, or I not address the issue. Mm-hmm. If you have a child support obligation and you lose your job, you have to file a petition. If you're not receiving support and you have an enforceable order, you can sit back and collect 9% interest, depending on what your ex-spouse's level of activity mm-hmm. is. Are they actually looking for a job? And then you have to go back to court to modify the support once they get back in work.
So it seems like it would be worth it.
Oh, yes.
And you would,
depending on the order, because some people, like, child support ends when the last child is 18 or graduates from high school, whichever happens last.
Okay, but if this is from when they were 16 or 17 and they're older, and you still have a case.
Yes.
So I think that's worth it.
Plus the interest. Correct.
Plus the interest. Right.
Sometimes lawyers lawyers will take those cases, because an impediment to going back to court is divorce lawyers want a retainer. Mm-hmm. They need a lump sum amount of money that comes into an account, and the lawyer bills from that. That's mm-hmm. how divorce lawyers make money. So in this circumstance, and it's all fact-driven, mm-hmm. because someone owes child support, it's non-dischargeable in bankruptcy, you accrue the interest at 9% statutory interest, and you can go back at any time. So I had one that had been going on for like 10 years, lived out of state, we couldn't get them, because the only way they will attach a body writ or a warrant to pick up someone on a child support is if the children are still minors, and you can get them in the state.
So it's harder to, out of state, after the kids are older, to get them into court, essentially, for it.
Unless they have assets.
Okay. Seems like something worth looking into for this person, I guess we'll say. We got about a minute left. This goes so fast. Julie, any thoughts that you have for people out there as we're getting into this holiday? I know this is difficult for people if they're thinking about divorce, considering it. What are you thinking, and what should they be thinking here these next couple of days?
So I would say, if you are considering divorce, maybe consider if it can be fixed.
Okay.
I wish everyone Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and
if it can't be fixed, call you.
STG Divorce Law.
You're too nice to say it.
248-6680.
And you've been through it. You can walk other people through it. It's an emotional journey, and you want a divorce attorney who gets that, who is patient, but firm when needs to be, and can listen to people's problems. And
the third is give options. The lawyer's job in a divorce case is to give the client options. Like, okay, here's my facts. What can I do with this?
Right. For sure. Julie, it was good to chat with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, John.
Absolutely. All right, that is just about going to do it here for Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.